I found out God has a sense of humor, you know. He must. He must. Some of the things he's done to me, I raised an eyebrow towards heaven and tried to figure out if he did it on purpose. Or as it would say, a happenstance. But I used to legalistically approach fasting. Legalistic, like they told me that I moved God. And so I would always designate a certain amount of days. And I can't tell you the condemnation from falling short. It would rack me. I knew he'd never do anything for a weakling like me. So because I thought it was legalistic, I couldn't figure out what going without eating had to do with moving God. I thought, okay, it's a slow death, like you're dying. If you don't eventually eat, then you're going to die. So he has to do it before you die. So to me, it was somehow consolidating prayer, getting it to work quicker, something. So because I thought that it was the self-denial that pleased him so much, you know, that the sacrifice involved in it. So I started fasting on feast days. I thought that would like be 2-1 or something. Thanksgiving was a good fast day. So was Christmas. And the amazing thing about it, your job coordinated time off for your fast. So Thanksgiving and Christmas were good days. And everybody else cooking turkey. Not you. You're sacrificing. Anyway, I was going down Thanksgiving Day to get some extra seasoning for Rosalie. And it was a little bitty mill town, so it had a little mill store. The one that owned your soul. By the time you got your paycheck, you owed it for the food you already charged. I went down there to get seasoning. So, of course, they were open. They made their kills when everybody else was closed. Little bitty country family thing. Little bitty gas station. So I made this the hardest fleece that I've ever laid on God. Because I wanted to go home and eat. People had their windows open cooking turkey. And how many knows your senses are heightened? I got down to the store and so I paused outside of the door and I thought about it. I said, I know what I'll do. I'll fleece God. That's fair. And if he doesn't answer the fleece, I get to eat. So I picked something that was really hard, like something that's totally out of the nature of the people in this store. They didn't do it in a million years and they wouldn't do it in another million. So I says, God, if you want me to go on with this fast, and I repeat, go on with it. See, not break it. If you want me to go on with this fast, go on with it. And you have the people in this store, give me something to eat. And if they don't give me something to eat, free, I'm going to go home and break it. Boy, I felt smug and safe when I went in. I could already taste the turkey. So I slapped my stuff on the counter. If you want joy, you must fast for it. I'm getting the stuff and paying it. And she says, hey, have a happy Thanksgiving. I said, thanks. And he's heading for the door with the bag. I said, all of a sudden, oh, hey, wait a minute. I'm almost out the door. So slowly he turns, you know. Just bake these fresh this morning. Here, take some. I said, did you do that? You know, that's as close as I ever come to slapping a woman. So that day I found out that he really did have a sense of humor, I could just say. But if it's not sacrifice, see, if it's not sacrifice, then what does fasting have to do with, in particular, Matthew 17? When they says, why couldn't we cast that devil out? His answer was, because of your unbelief. So then we know that fasting has to do something with unbelief. And, you know, we isolated the flesh and told what fasting did and then what prayer did. And when fasting executes the position of flesh, it's been declared which is dead, if Christ be in you. Body has been declared dead because of sin, and the spirit, life, L-I-F-E, the Zoe, God kind, not alive. People in hell are alive. Because Christ is in you, your spirit has entered into the Zoe, God kind, has seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Life. But at the same moment you were born again, your body was positioned. But why it does you good to fast, because there is a positional truth that your fasting enforces. And the combination, when he said, because of your unbelief is why the devil wouldn't come out. And the combination of prayer and fasting is the power twins. I mean, these two things coupled together will reach in and begin to position your new nature in the position of grace and authority that it has been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus in. So you can't worship, you can't speak the word, you can't pray in tongues. You can't assimilate the word without enforcing the position of grace. Your spirit has been declared being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now the inside of the clay pot, you're filling it up with water. You're edifying and building yourself up in the position of grace he's already declared you. And at the same time, when you're fasting, you're executing the position that your body's been declared. So you have two things working here. You're building yourself up in the spirit from the inside out, while at the same time, the fasting is positioning your body in the position that's been declared the moment you were born again. So the moment I was born again, my spirit was seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and your spirit is life. Because of righteousness, Christ is in you. Your spirit has been born again. It's attained a righteous state. Therefore, it's been declared life because of it, and he's in you. So the same time that you're seating yourself through all of those things with him, you're executing the position your body's been declared. If Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin. So this is what begins to take place. When we talk about flesh, you know, we're not just talking basically about this stuff that's hanging on your bones. When we talk about flesh, we're generally talking about the attributes that are connected with the baser side of the soul. We're talking from things to self-exaltation. We're talking about things, lust. We're talking about all kinds of things that can put a ceiling on the operation of your spirit. That when you begin to fast, somehow the fasting will begin to execute the position of death that your flesh has already been declared the moment you were born again and it was positioned. In both of these positions, if there was no place to enforce, then nothing would work. But we're enforcing a position that's already been given to us, which my body has been declared dead. Now, I didn't used to think that anything in the natural could really affect me, per se, emotionally, a bridge that's close to spiritually. How could anything in the natural affect me that way? But there's certain drugs that you can take. They got different names for them. I just hear testimonies. Isn't it something you can take something that's designed to be ingested totally in the natural into your system, but yet it can affect you like that? How can that be? How many's addicted to chocolate? I see people's eyes roll back eating a piece of chocolate like smoking a cigarette. They go, Yet whatever chemical compounds in cigarettes, it's incredible. I watched Gary and him through his victory and watched him fight like he's crazy, you know. Crazy in love with Jesus. But I watched him, right? It's a good fight. He says of all the things he got free from, this was easy, that was easy, this was easy. But boy, I tell you, getting free from the cigarettes, he says, was a run for your money. And can anybody testify to that? Whatever chemical induces and the euphoria it sends your brain to, it must be really addictive. Yet none of this is touching your spirit. So tell me, when you start positioning your body with fasting, can you even begin to imagine the ceilings it'll begin to destroy as it positions it in the death with absolutely no reign over your spirit that Christ has provided for it? Had no idea chemistry could have that much effect. And I know what a cigarette will do. I see people, they look like Mozart when I get mad. Their hair is flying all over me. And they grab a pack and they can't get open fast enough. So they get your knife out and cut the end of the pack off. Like a smokesogen mask or something. And 5 minutes later, they come back in who they were Mozart to a moment ago. They go, man, I really love you. And cigarettes can do that? You didn't change. It just sent that thing back where it lived. Hallelujah. There was these monks in Tibet that... They go into some of their temples and things, and they have this spiritual drink that you drank. But what I understand, that where this is introduced to them, that they would meditate for hour upon hour. And when the people come and introduce that spiritual drink to them, some of them had to meditate a good part of their life and chant and that kind of thing in their religion to have any kind of experience. They could drink that drink and have the same kinds. But I mean, what's in it? And what does that open you up to? What is that power that's in the mind? How can a chemical formula, which is totally ingested in the natural, have so much power over you? Would let you understand the power of fasting. It's more than going without eating, see? Going without eating is what you can do when you begin to position it in the powerful place that Christ has provided for it. The moment that you were born again, your body, as far as its reign over your spirit, was declared dead, and your spirit declared seated in heavenly places with Him. So when you begin to fast and abandon yourself to God, let's go without eating, then there's more power in it than just the cleansing of your body. Which a tremendous cleansing will take place on top of your head, bottom of your feet. There's a doctor that discovered the power of fasting about the time I was in Medford. A medical doctor, he had silver gray hair, and after 340 days in the same year, his hair turned back to the darker color of his youth, see? And you got such an aggressive cleanse that will go on. That we had a woman in our church that was bit by a flying squirrel years before that had sleeping sickness. And they had to do everything they could to save her life, to get her out of the coma. And so they cleaned her, cleaned her blood, did everything possible. And her body was storing that sleeping compound, storing it anywhere in her body to save her life. It was stored up in layers of fat in the organs. And then when she would go on a fast, about the second or third day in, when she reached the level of cleansing where it was stored, it would release that in her blood and she'd go to sleep again. So Bill and some of them from there, when Bill had fasted for the longest time, he'd hit pockets of things he took in the past. And it would release it in their bloodstream again. But the cleanses can be so healthy and so aggressive. It's your skin, your organs, your blood will thin down. I mean, you talk about a rejuvenation. And see, there's more to it than just the cleansing. You got the power of God behind it because you have a positional truth that you're putting your body into. Therefore, He'll step in and help. And I can't begin to tell you that how many things is connected with the flesh. That in our spirit we love God and our conscience is bearing. We know we have authority over our body. But somehow something seems to be giving power to the things that you want to get rid of. Like the smoking will send the problem back where it came from. And instead of getting rid of the problem, facing it, getting it out of you, somehow a chemical compound will send that thing back where it came from. And so it's got to have something to do even with pride and different things that a person can have in their life. And instead of getting rid of the pride, they just get real upset. Then they depend on some compound to calm themselves back down. So when you fast, I'm telling you that it is more than just the cleansing of the body, which I know enough about. You know, in my late 30s, didn't do any good to pull the drain on the plug. My hair kept it from draining. Not because it was long and got stuck in the drain. It was because the handfuls that fell out. And I think it was the third longer fast that it virtually arrested it mostly. Slowed it way down. Why? Even the finest of the hairline blood vessels that feed the hair, and the respiratory system and the lungs. And you know how the stairs get you as you get a little older? It's usually not because you can't have energy. It's because your body can't be supplied like it needs to until you're about 100. So I'm just talking some natural benefits, just natural right now. But I'm telling you in the positional truth of it, when you begin to fast at the same time, that anything that's in you like that, that shouldn't be, not only will it begin to cleanse away, but because there's a positional truth provided by Christ that you're enforcing, He's also there because of this added key designed exactly for that. It's there. And so when you're doing this as unto Him, then He adds the presence and the power of God to a natural process that makes you be able to make it. And if you particularly spend the time praying, it's a little bit easier on the flesh. But my first longer fast, I couldn't. It got horrible. I got so far away from prayer that I established myself in an organ. That it seemed like a presence would. And I'd try to pray. No matter how hard I mustered up and tried to pray, it just seemed like I couldn't. In fact, the only peace that I had almost was to bury myself in the TV. Well, you know, that's the time when Rosalie went to France. And I begged her through the airport because I was already on 4 days. And I promised her when I had a full belly, I swore my whole soul on my life that I would do what I said. That was when my belly was full. When it was empty, I was ready to negotiate. And I had a safeguard. I promised her. I said, "Oh, God, let me clear this. Let me do this. I promise you. I will fast." So I get 4 days into it. And I'm trying to negotiate my way out. So it was necessary to follow her through the airport. Begging. "Please. Let me out. You're going away. You need to be home when I'm fasting. You have to take care of things. So I'll wait till you get back." "No deal. You promised." "Yeah, but really, you should be here. Look, I'll do it later." "You promised." And she got on the plane treating me like that. I went home and it seemed like a lot of despair. I got home and we don't want to call it fasting anymore. You want to say, "I'm going on a slowie." All the time, just minutes turned into days. And I'm locked up with myself in that room. And eternity is passing. So I made a decision. I couldn't take it, so I turned the TV on. And I laid on my back and watched it. Over 20 days, hardly without moving. And I can't be any more glad for it, because I look back now. And laying on my bed looking at it 20 days was better than breaking the fast. Now they'll tell you, "You got to do it just right." Oh no, any effort you put out, God's going to honor the living daylights out of it. At least you're trying. So I laid there the 20 days, and I think it was the 22nd day when I woke up. My old desire was back to pray. The strength to go on with the fast was in me. The desire to pray was back. Boy, and I remember when people have to sleep with the TV on, it's generally this. It's not just because of noise. But anyway, I couldn't sleep unless that was... I turned it off. For the first time, that desire had come back. And ever since the glory days of my airplanes, and intense desire. So I remember it felt like I had been born again. I could feel hope flooding into my soul again. I could feel tangents of peace. And this deep-seated feeling came way down inside somewhere that you're going to do it. You're going to make it. You're going to do what I ask you. So I think I went 30 somewhat days. I didn't understand any of the things that I'm teaching now. See, but the only thing that I did understand was that when I stuck in there, I found out I really didn't have to break it. But it was better to do something lesser than stop it altogether. Because no matter how low level of fasting that you operate in, it's going to produce something in the positional truth that has been provided for you through fasting. So I think it helped. In fact, I know we're not going to get through that, but I knew that. I have serious fasting to teach on yet. The difference between serious fasting and the ultimate, complete fast. The fast, when you fast, your body, and you fast your soul from anything but continually praying and worshiping. You fast your spirit from anything but praying in tongues and reading the Word. And the only break you take from those things, you offer your whole body up to God. He is the only thing you take in. Spirit, soul, and body. And your whole attention is on Him for the duration. Now there's a fast. There's one more. But that one, you have to be led into it by God. Now in Matthew 6, when He talked about different things, when they said, teach us to pray, He said, when you pray. He didn't say, pray about praying. Can you imagine, where are you going? I've been praying about praying. Oh, what did He tell you? Oh, He told me not to pray. Right. And then, when it comes to giving, He said, when you give. You know, when I pray about giving, it's not whether I should or not, it's how much. But everybody prays about fasting. I think most of us wait on an answer for a long time. I haven't heard yet. Maybe you need to fast to be able to hear.
I haven't heard yet.
Really? Yet He says, when you pray, when you give, and we accept that. But He said, when you fast. We don't accept that.
You got to be led into a fast.
I can do that. I can make you feel led. I can get you to fast. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of health benefits to fasting. See, He didn't say, pray about fasting. There's only one kind you pray about, and that's total abstinence from everything. No water, no food, no nothing. And that's the one He has to tell you to do. And if you have trouble hearing God, and if it wasn't Him, about 10 days, you'll be hearing Him real good because you'll be with Him. Total, ultimate mortification of the flesh has taken place. Hallelujah, Jesus. He just said, when you pray, not when you fast. He didn't say, pray about it. There's only the one. And the other, you can make a lifestyle of it. A fasted life is so effective. Serious fasting is every bit as effective as the 40 days. Because you're not moving God. You're positioning your flesh. And the moment that it drops below the operation of your spirit, if you were sealed in any part of it, every kind of unbelief that's stemmed or rooted in everything, everything that a chemical formula can be induced in you can affect the emotions and affect the attitude. And so, in positioning that, then those things will begin to die. And whether it's serious, or you just decide to go all out on a 40-day, people have become so discouraged because they put themselves under the law of 40 days. And the 40th day is there, and there was no thunder, no angels appeared. Nobody said anything to them. In fact, sometimes you don't exactly feel spiritual at the end of the 40 days. And a whole lot of them thought that they passed a doctrine that said there's nothing to a longer fast. But if you put all your eggs in one basket, meaning all your hopes in that 40 day, and it doesn't attain the positioning of the flesh yet, and you don't see much, people get discouraged. And unfortunately, they give up a very powerful, powerful tool that'll carry you on in to what He said in Matthew 17, that all things are possible to the man that knows how to deal with this particular kind of unbelief. So, now, in fasting, how many can tell me an immediate benefit that really makes you happy when you look in the mirror? Your voice? your way, Dove. That once you lose it, you might as well reap the benefit of the health that it brings to you, your bones, every other part of your body. You might as well stay, because part of the victories that you'll have if you'll continue the fasted life is over every aspect of the flesh. So you're building your spirit up from the inside, executing the position of your flesh from the outside, and the combination is a manifestation of the power twins, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing. So there's a lot of benefits. And I even wanted to cover,
well, what if I am on medicine?
See, and I didn't even get near as far, because I could tell this time he really wanted me to take Romans 8 and prove the positioning of the body and the supremacy of the born-again spirit over it. And what you can do in that new nature to enforce the defeat of the flesh. Mountain has never been your problem. The problem is whether you can believe it's gone or not. For he said, you could say to the mountain, doubt not in your heart, and you'll have what you say. So the mountain isn't the problem. Whether you can believe it's gone or not is the problem. So there's a tremendous, tremendous victory building yourself up in the spirit. But there's also a tremendous victory in positioning the body in the position that has been declared. He says, us that have the first fruits is born again, grown within the new nature we have, waiting for the adoption process to wit, or to come to culmination, or be made complete. And he said, that takes place at the redemption of our bodies. Meanwhile, I'm stuck in this one. But he was showing the position and the supremacy of the operation of the Holy Spirit in your new nature to bring you victory. Then we switch to a whole total, another key, which is fasting, to begin to deal with the flesh from the outside while you're dealing with it through the Spirit on the inside. And there's no way that you're going to come out of this without every kind of victory. No way. So series fasting is very powerful. Several, the whole year, eat one day and fast the next. Eat one day, fast the next. Eat a day, fast the next. And some, then when they step the series fasting up, they'll fast 2 days and eat one. And while you're doing that, you have to be careful what you eat. Big, chunky pieces of steak that cholesterol and putrefy in your colon and stick and get hard and your plumbing backs up and disease comes out your skin and you get old early. Anyway, if you're doing that much fasting, then you have to watch what you're eating, because it'll keep disrupting your system. So some go 3 on and they eat one. You know, as spiritual as you are, it's not just, you know about edifying yourself in the Spirit. Which, you go here, you know a lot about that. And if you still haven't made much progress in going where you're going to go, why wouldn't it behoove you to add this key to help destroy those strongholds of the flesh, so that you could move on to what Jesus said, that all things are possible to him that believeth. At first, I didn't even know how it was happening. All I know is things I had been believing for, and things I had been wanting, like the giftings of the Spirit, things I had been believing for that needed to change. All of a sudden, they start coming to pass. So of course I could believe that my fasting was moving God, but it wasn't. It caused the ceiling of the flesh to drop below the operation of my spirit. And when it did, what was in my spirit automatically began to come out, and God automatically began to answer. I'll give you this one testimony. This man of God. This man loved his wife so much, she was his whole life. He's a powerless minister. She was his whole life, and she died. He loved her so much it left a vacuum in him that liked to kill her. And to tell you the truth, at that point, he didn't care if he lived or died. So he says, God, I can't live like this anymore. I've got a void. You got to fill it. So he went on a 40-day fast. And when he broke it, and he went back and ministered a little while, and nothing changed much. So when he adequately recovered from that one, he went on another 40 day. So he took, 20, 30 days to recover, and he went on another 40 day. He went out and ministered a while. There wasn't nothing. So then he went on another 40 day. He went out and ministered somewhat, and the void was still there. Nothing changed adequately. So when he gets recovered, he went on another one. And he did it again. He did it again. And the seventh one. And so finally, that void began to be filled, and he came to the forefront, I used to watch him and wonder, how can he get those miracles so easy? He said, come on and walk. And they just stand up out of the wheelchair and walk off just like you. Just stand up and walk off, peeling their stuff off. William Branham has a similar story. Couldn't take it anymore. Went up in the woods, he'd rather be dead. Lost his family in the flood. Similar story. But we'll get into these things. And you don't have to start there. But I do recommend adding the key to some degree. And watch what begins to happen to the overall way that God does with your life. And fasting is one of the most major health keys, I guess, of about anything that I know of the keys, except the faith to walk in health. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, I haven't... I had a lump come up on this side. And one time I had blood in my urine and an infection passed through my system for a year. Had a vertebrae tip over on... And an injury tipped over and pressed on my spine. And it paralyzed this leg sometime. I couldn't sit down. And I'm riding my big twin airplane. Can't get out of it. The man of the hour, healing meeting. Finally, if it take me a while to straighten up, and made it tighten up a little, I could use my leg better. It was always hurting if I stood on it for a little while. So I'd get a chair like this, a hard one, and I'd tilt it back and press the lower part, and it pushed that vertebrae hard enough. I'd get some of the pressure off where I could stand up okay. Then I'd have to be on my feet. So I'd pray for people and they'd get healed. And I'd go, how about me? All they're like, I'm healed. I'd went to Texas and I was preaching there. I was on the ninth day of a fast. I was laying on the floor praying and thanking God and listening for the message. And that all of a sudden, I felt the pressure just suddenly lift, just dissipate in the base of my back, just dissipate. And I turned around and got off up the floor, and I said, my God, what happened? What has happened? That position went like this. He had been wanting to heal me all along. Well, that I was on that step. And I remember what he said. I prayed myself to a place. And he said, are you going to do what I told you? I paused. And in the middle of the step, then I said, yes, sir, I am. And I surrendered there. And when I took the next step, I felt the pain lift. And by the next day, I couldn't feel anything left. Thank you, Jesus. Well, now how do you get a guy to stand himself? I feel better than I did from 30 to 40. Definitely better than I did from 40 to 50. My real health came from 50 to 60. My God, what's it like at 90? Hachum me heselechi. Shode karama shode ekerese. Nade karemo esilo pomese. Shobi konesti le turbe vavime. The amose. But what he's talking about now is you. He's offering himself to help you again. I didn't hear particularly grace line, but I heard prayer. Domi seletoma. For the sower can overtake the reaper, meaning that I can sow all this stuff in your life in 5 years. It took me 35 years to find out even. And you can be walking in the harvest of it in a few years after that. And I'll be up ahead in 40, 35 years of ministry of my life. You can come by and catch up in just 7 or 8 years. And only the only reward I'll get in addition to yours is the years he'll accredit to me for getting what I passed over to you. But to have you come storming by is no problem to me. I wish you would. So when these things are resident in me, you have to understand, if they're there, they can be imparted. So all of a sudden you got this strength and your attitude's changed because he's been able to take something of mine that he's given to me, a standing of his, and trade it off for yours. And usually yours is a lot weaker than his. But in this line, to be honest with you, I don't care what you ask for, because he did not designate. He just told me that if you wanted prayer, you call a line, you can get in it, and the rest of you can go home if you want. I don't care. I'm going to obey him no matter what he says. I feel too good not to. Hallelujah. Once in a while, a winter thing or something will try to get me. It usually makes it to the stage that I'm aware it's there. Hallelujah, Jesus.